Hi, and welcome to the Farm Grown Podcast, a podcast that teaches Africa-based lawyers and business development professionals how to grow three very important things: profitability, visibility, and productivity. I'm your host, Olivia Kiratu, lawyer and business development coach, and I'm so excited that you're here. If you're ready to grow your practice, let's go. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about 10 tips you can use to better manage your email inbox. And some of you are thinking that, okay, she's meant to be teaching us about growing our practices. How is that related to our emails? You know what? Sometimes I often have people telling me, hey, I want more business. And I ask them, have you checked your email? It's a big problem I've seen in many practices where lawyers are very quick to, you know, promote themselves out there and put themselves out there. But when it comes to managing inquiries and referrals that are already in their inbox, things like, for instance, you know, poor responsiveness or a lack of understanding how to respond to client inquiries and questions can really mess up a situation where a lead is already interested in your service and you're at the point where you're having a conversation on how you can take it ahead, and then you mess it up either by not responding or maybe giving, you know, a weak response to that communication. Basically, email is important. So before you go out there, you know, networking and, you know, sharing your cards, at least let's have the basics down so that when the opportunity does come your way, you know how to handle it. So your email and your inbox, I feel, is an important part of your own personal business development strategy. We cannot ignore it because it's a primary channel that many clients use to communicate with us as individual lawyers. True story. By the way, a few years ago, I almost got fired for poor email inbox management and a lack of attention to detail. I'll tell that story in another episode. I don't have the courage to tell it today, but it taught me a very painful lesson on just how important it is to give attention to what you send out there. So in this episode, I'll be talking about how you can be more productive and how you can be more effective and how your messaging can even be much more clearer when you're writing emails. So the very first thing I want to recommend as far as tips go is have a proactive approach to email. I used to be this person. I don't know why this episode is one where I'm confessing so much, but anyway, I've always promised I want to be an authentic coach. So here goes. I literally used to sleep with my work phone next to my bed. And, you know, when you adhere a notification for my work email, it was hard for me to, you know, fully go to bed. I would always be, you know, obsessed with just checking out what's this new email about, what's going on at work, what do I need to know about, is there a new deadline, what's my boss saying. I was that person, hooked. And for a while it felt like my work days were determined by what was going on in my inbox, and it took a long time for me to actually just, you know, break out from that cycle, start slipping away from my phone, and just have a more proactive approach to email management. And that's what I recommend you do. Instead of having a reactive approach to email where you're just reacting to what's going on in your inbox, have a proactive approach. So what do I mean by having a proactive approach to email? First of all, and this may be controversial, don't let email dictate your day's agenda. So there's a lady called Jillian Morgenstein, and she is an author and a time management expert. And she gives this tip that never check email first thing in the morning. Now, I try to do this, and I also try not to check my emails over the weekend unless I have a big deadline, and it's really working out for me. So because I'm a morning person, I always tell myself, okay, first, do, you know, the biggest, most urgent and important things, you know, the things that will affect your bottom line, like Jillian recommends, and then get to your email. So Jillian explains it this way, and I'm paraphrasing what she says. It's like when you're just reacting to what's going on in your inbox, you're reacting to people's agenda for what they think your day should be. So people will give you, you know, crazy deadlines, and yet you've not done the more important things. Instead, you start by doing work, the important work, you know, the work that makes a difference in terms of your firm's profitability and in terms of you reaching your targets as an individual lawyer. So see email as a way of maintaining work, but don't let email become the work. Does that make sense? So have a proactive approach to email. instead of reacting to it, tell yourself, I work, and then check emails. And it brings me to my next tip. Set aside to check emails. So I saw this statistic from the Harvard Business Review, and it says, on average, professionals check their email 15 times per day or every 37 minutes. I'll repeat that for emphasis. Every 37 minutes, you guys. Wow. And you know, there's another statistic, and I don't have it at hand, which says that every time, you know, you have an interruption or disruption in terms of your focused work time, it takes quite, I think, more than even 10 or so minutes to get back. I don't have the statistics. I'll look for it and possibly link it on the podcast page. But it takes you very long to come back from, you know, when you're interrupting your focused work time to go to your email and then come back. It takes you time. So one thing I recommend is set aside time a day to set aside some time every day to look at your inbox. So for some of you, it could be, for instance, like I said, never check email in the morning. It could be first do your most strategic and most important work, and then maybe around 10, 11, pop in your inbox. You could have one time of the day where you clean out your inbox and you make sure that by the end of the day, your inbox is at what we call inbox zero, meaning you've replied to, you sent a response to every email, even if it's just acknowledging an every email and just saying, okay, I'll get back to you tomorrow, but your inbox is at zero. So there are no unread emails by the time you're going home. So for some of you, it could be saying, you know, I'll be cleaning out my inbox at 6 p.m. or 5 p.m. when I'm leaving the office. For some of you, maybe because maybe you supervise many people and your clients, you know, you deal in your type of work, you deal with a lot of, you're juggling a lot of deadlines, you can't afford to be away from email and only look at it once per day. It could be, I'll check my email every time at 10, at midday, and in the afternoon at 4. Those are the three times I will allow myself to check email. In between those times, I'm doing work, I'm in meetings. So set aside a time a day. Don't just leave it to chance that every time you get a notification on from Outlook or Gmail, you stop what you're doing and go to your email. I mean, unless there's a pressing deadline. So another thing linked to this is switch off notifications. Yes, switch off your notifications. If you can, and if you need help from maybe your firm's IT manager, get it done. So that way you can, you know, switch off your, in fact, sometimes I actually close my email tab. And unless I have to, I'll work on other tabs, finish my work, and then I'll go to email at the time I'm meant to be going to email. It takes a lot of discipline, but let me tell you, I get more done that way, and I highly recommend that you try to do that as well. The same with your phone. Unless you have something important that you're waiting on in terms of an email you're waiting for, maybe from a client or a contact, I would recommend you also switch off your email notifications and only do your emails at that time that you've set aside. Again, unless you have a big schedule. Now, what this will also allow you to do is it will help you communicate expectations to clients and other colleagues and tell them, okay, so if you send me an email at this time, I think I'll reply to it at this time. So someone finds you in the corridor, a client says, hey, I sent you this. You know, unless it's urgent, then you can say, okay, fine. I'm in the middle of something now, but I think I should have a response for you by 2 p.m. So communicating, you know, expectations to other people as to what they should expect in terms of your responsiveness. But when you do make these promises, please keep them so that people know that, okay, this person is dependable, they're reliable. Yes, they won't reply, you know, every 37 minutes. Read the HBR article statistics I mentioned. But what you're doing is you're giving yourself time to work on what I call focus tasks. Yeah, it could be training, it could be research, it could be, you know, creating a legal opinion for a client, but it's giving you time to be more productive. And that way you find yourself getting to that day. And yes, you've accomplished the most urgent and important tasks. Another thing about the inbox is avoiding procrastination. So as I said, it can be a very dangerous thing. If you're not on holiday, if you're not away at a training or at a firm event that's keeping you away from your inbox, try to avoid creating a backlog of emails that you've not responded to. Very dangerous. Don't do that. So what you want to do is try at least to have this policy at the end of every day. Clean out your inbox. So avoid procrastination when it comes to managing your inbox. And you don't have to have a perfect answer or, you know, a what, a 25 word response for every person who writes. It could be as simple as, I got your email, I will revert shortly. So that other person on that other, on the other end, doesn't wonder whether or not you're, you know, you've seen their email, and it avoids the need for them to say, hey, you're not responding. You just tell them, listen, I've read your email and I'll get back to you. Usually I found people sometimes are just comfortable just with that response. It's sufficient to know you're working on it. You've heard me, you'll get back to me. So acknowledge emails, something as simple as what I've just said, acknowledge emails. Another thing you could do is change it into a task. So instead of procrastinating and having to remind yourself, oh my gosh, yes, I did get an email from FarmGrown and I was meant to respond. So both Outlook and Gmail, I could be wrong, but I believe both of them have a feature where you can actually, you know, bookmark and click on an email and it turns into a to-do item or a task. And maybe you can set a time of, when do I need to remember to action this email, to reply to this email or forward it to someone else. If you're lucky enough to have a PA or a team that's working, you know, with you, you can ask one of those other people to please, you know, help you remember that you need to follow up. So another feature that some tools have is that you can have like a follow-up. So you can say tomorrow at 1:30, I need to remember to action this email. So you can use those features to actually avoid procrastination. The next thing you want to do is make your team work. And I've seen this especially for senior lawyers who sometimes find themselves overwhelmed with email. Sometimes it's about just copying your larger team. Maybe the pressure you're feeling from all clients is because they don't know that they have alternatives in terms of the contact people they can talk to in your practice about the matter that you're handling for them. So if you're comfortable with it, if it's not confidential, if you have a larger team, for instance, of associates working with you, a good idea is that in your client communication, why not think about copying these other lawyers in your firm? That way, when you're not at hand, these people can acknowledge and say, hey, Olivia's not in right now, but she's handling a matter right now in court, but she should be back at 2:30 and we'll revert to you then. So the client is satisfied that, you know what, my message has been acknowledged, even if it's not by Olivia, but by someone else, and that's fine. And I'll wait for you guys to get to give me a response. So delegate. Copy your larger team when you need to. If you have a PA or someone, you know, a junior lawyer working with you, how about you delegate to them to respond to the email and have you copied in? That's a simple way for you also to make the team work for you. So delegate and copy your larger team. That's another tip that I want to give you to just manage your email inbox. Another thing is to integrate your devices. So true story, again, a few years ago, I had... I think it was a Microsoft, was it a Microsoft Nokia phone? And I found myself using a lot of Microsoft apps on my phone. The challenge with that was that, you know, my Gmail account, my business Gmail account, and my personal Gmail, my personal accounts were all on Gmail. And I found myself struggling to use tools, for instance, like Google Drive and Google Calendar. And I also had this disconnect where I had a lot of my flash disks from, you know, through the years, I had uploaded that content to my personal Google Drive. And now I was uploading my business files to my new Gmail, business Gmail account and Google Drive. So I found there's a disconnect between using, you know, this Microsoft, this phone that had a lot of Microsoft apps, and yet the rest of my content and a lot of my life and data was on Google. So what did I do? I got a phone that... an Android phone that integrated very well with G Suite. Nothing against Microsoft, by the way. I just found that looking back at my own history and data footprint, it made sense for me to have a phone that allowed me to work with Google. So I miss tools like OneNote, but I realized, you know, it makes it easier if I sync everything with one type of software. So for me, G Suite was it. So I now take my notes in Google Keep. I use Gmail. My documents are on Google Drive. But it all started with me integrating my device. So one thing I do recommend to you is find a way to integrate your device. If you are okay with it, why not think about, for instance, having your work email on your personal mobile phone and having, you know, your emails come directly there. So you don't have to go to your office to see a message from a client, to respond to something from a colleague on the go, whether you're in court waiting to go in or whatever, or you're on your commute, in between meetings, in an Uber, whatever works for you, by the way. Just, you can integrate your devices. That way, when you're on the go, whether you're on your tablet, whether you're on your laptop, on your iPad, you're just able to access your email inbox easily. So I definitely think you should think about integrating your devices and try to find, and also integrating your software like I have recommended, and just finding a way where it's seamless for you to be able to access your email. I know some people have a problem with this because of this whole work-life balance struggle that many of us have, and some people feel that if you do have your email on your mobile device, you find it harder. Maybe some people will find it harder to switch off work and have time for, you know, family and other things. But in my own personal experience, for instance, I have my business email account on my mobile phone, but I have a time when I can go to my business email, usually weekdays and working hours. During the weekends, I try to avoid going onto my, you know, email account. And again, if you use the tip that I gave you earlier of switching off notifications, so when you're spending time with family, you know, in the evenings, on weekdays, on weekends, there's no reason then why you have to find yourself having to, you know, go, or there's nothing, you know, asking for your attention or triggering anything for you to go to check your business or work email address. So integrate your devices and apps so you make it easier to take notes, to email, to, so that you have everything that you need and your email inbox is much easier. The next tip I have for you is to write effective emails. A lot of people, many of us write emails, but I don't think we write effective emails. I was very lucky. When I said earlier, I was almost fired for, you know, poor email and inbox etiquette and management. The story did end well, I'm glad to say. So my boss at the time actually decided to take the time, and, you know, after I apologized, of course, for the mistakes I'd made with my email management, and she took the time to actually teach me how to write good emails. And I've always been very grateful for, you know, that training that I got. And I pass it along to the lawyers and BD professionals that I meet across Africa. And one particular group I'm really keen to share these tips with are, for instance, younger lawyers. But it doesn't matter what age you are. I do hope that these tips on writing effective emails will help you. So some of the things that I learned from her is, number one, to read your email from top to bottom. So write your email, but read it from top to bottom and then bottom to top. Yes, that's a very easy way to catch typos. And you read that email to yourself and again from the bottom to the top, and you ask yourself, does this make sense? Is this all I needed to say? And another tip for you is, I like to keep post-its, you know, the ones with neon colors and everything, doesn't matter the size. And before I write an email, I like to have like a bullet, like bullet points of, what do I want to address in this email? Do I have a question on the date of the training? Is it a question of how they're accessing the material? Do I need to give them, this client, an access to my Google Drive? So I put those points in bullet point and I like check them with my pen. This is on my desk as I'm writing the email to see that I have covered everything I wanted to cover. So that helps me to avoid sending an email and saying, oh my gosh, I didn't do this. Another thing that I always like to recommend is, add your attachments first. I've done this so many times. And it's one of the reasons I almost got fired then. Where you write a nice email, press send, but you know the important PDF you are meant to attach is not attached. Happened to me. So I always say, add your attachment first. Yes, add your attachment first before you even start writing your email. It prevents you from actually, you know, sending an email out without anything and then having the embarrassment of getting an email a few seconds later saying, hey, no attachment, please resend. The next thing is, you want to craft your subject line. So imagine and empathize with the person who you're writing this email to. So many other things are trying to, you know, get this person's attention. So when your email is in their inbox, what makes it pop? What makes them think of, okay, I need to read this? One thing is to edit the subject line to be related to what you're talking about. If it's something in regard to a deadline or a meeting, I always like to add the date. So for instance, if I'm writing to request for a meeting with a lawyer, I'll write meeting, separator line, coaching, separator line, 25th of July. So very quickly, that person will know, okay, yeah, it's about that 25th of July coaching I was talking to Olivia about. So one way I like to do this is just craft your subject line and ask yourself, if in this person's email inbox, when they're just filtering through all the emails that have popped up, how will they know, like, how does my message say, hey, read me, That's what you do. And you want to write your subject line without capital. For some of you, this is obvious, but I've noticed for some people, it isn't as obvious. So let me just mention it here. So try to avoid writing your messages, because they say in email that's like equivalent to shouting. So use your subject line strategically. Use the urgency features in email tools like Outlook cautiously. You know, don't be the boy who cried wolf. Well, all the time you're saying something is urgent. When someone gets to open it, no, there is no urgency. So don't be the boy who cried wolf. So use those tools and that feature quite cautiously. So there you have it. So those are some of the things that I always use in my own email inbox management to make sure that I write effective emails. And I found when I write an effective email, it limits the number of emails messages that I have with contacts, because from the very get-go, I try to capture everything with that little checklist that I write on a post-it. So I find we don't have to write so many messages back and forth, so it eliminates that. Another thing I want you to use as a tip is, could you please remember how things were before we had email? Another true story is, I once had a boss who told me that, you know, Olivia, I see you on email, but I rarely see you in person. It would be great to have a chat. And, you know, my comfort zone is actually just sending out emails, read this, look at that, this deadline. To be honest, I'm happy with that. And it's no wonder I enjoy having a virtual coaching business where some clients get to only interact with me, you know, on video call and on email. But, you know, people do want you to humanize communication. So if there's been a long and protracted email exchange with maybe your colleagues or maybe a client, might be a good idea to step away behind your desktop or iPad, whatever. Just go have a face-to-face chat. You'd be surprised the number of issues you can sort out with a face-to-face chat. I see this in my own business. Sometimes I'm sending out a proposal and we're having a lot of back and forth with a client, and I have a face-to-face meeting and everything is resolved. You know, something that's taken weeks of emails back and forth, questions face to face. So get up from your desk, get out of your office if it's a client, and just go meet that client. So don't be hide behind your email. Email is a great tool. Yes, it makes business communication much more faster and efficient, but sometimes it cannot replace face to face communication. So remember how it was before email. And especially if there's a conflict with a colleague, email can just make it worse and just aggravate something that doesn't need to be aggravated. Get away from email. Don't use email as an excuse to hide, you know, behind words. Have face-to-face conversation. Create that dialogue and that personalized type of communication. And if that client is far away, or if it's someone who's far away, if it's a colleague, if you're working, for instance, in a regional firm, then arrange for a video call. Arrange for a video call and you'll find yourself just reducing the number of emails you would have had if it's something that's maybe, you know, a big project or something that's been dragging for a while. Just have a video call and sort everything that needs to be sorted out. The only exception I want to say here is an alternative I do not recommend is social media, and particularly WhatsApp. Because of things like client confidentiality and you not being able to have control over who your WhatsApp messages would be passed along to, I wouldn't recommend you substituting WhatsApp messages for regular email communication. I know sometimes we can't help it. You're running late for a client meeting and it's just as simple of, I'm running late and I'm stuck in traffic. That's fine. But, you know, lengthier messages with client details or transactional details or something you're handling for a client, I would avoid having those sent over on WhatsApp. Yeah, so just a caveat there. The next tip that I have for you is to write better emails. Yes, it's this is related to the tip I said about effective emails. But when you're writing better, one thing I would advise you to do is to actually use a proofreading tool. Now, by default, tools like Grammarly, tools like Outlook and Gmail do have like a spell check or an editor. But if you want to just take it to the next level, I highly recommend a tool called Grammarly. Now, Grammarly is free of charge. If you're using Gmail, for instance, you can use its Grammarly, the Grammarly Chrome extension, which is what I use, and it helps me edit my emails as I write them. Another thing that you could use is, you know, just download the Grammarly desktop. They have a Grammarly desktop app that can help you proofread your emails on Outlook for free, by the way, Both the extension and the app that I'm asking you to download are totally free if you go to the Grammarly website. Don't worry, I'll put a link to, if you're listening to this at least on the podcast website, I'll put a link to it below. And another thing I like to use is canned responses. So if you're not confident with your writing, and one thing you could do is just to write email templates way ahead of time. So if there are simple templates, simple emails, you always say like, hey, we need this and this and this, or this is the information I need to open your file. You can write these emails and save them on your email tool and just customize the name, features like the date and anything else, and send them through. So canned responses or email templates that you just copy and paste and use, the kind of emails that you find yourself, you know, writing over and over again. If you do have those type of emails, it would be a good idea for you to do that. The next thing I recommend you do is to use a personal email address for, you know, social media and for your newsletters. Now, this is something I'm actually trying to do right now. I'm trying to purge my inbox because sometimes I get emails I shouldn't be getting on my work email address, and they're all, you know, trying to scramble for my attention. So number one is subscribe judiciously and use your work email address, you know, only for work related email newsletters, not for everything. And, you know, things like social media, and I love LinkedIn, but having the option of always, you know, having the interruption of always LinkedIn saying someone has liked your post, someone has said this, sometimes that can be a big disruption in your focused work time. So what I would recommend is instead, how about you use your personal email address or create an email address just for your email newsletters, so you don't get them flooding and filling your inbox. And so you leave your work email address just for work. Yeah. So there you have it. Those are some of the tips that I have for you on how you can better manage your email inbox. I hope that these tips help you improve your responsiveness and the effectiveness of your emails. I like to be an authentic coach. And here are some other things I just wanted to tell you that I'm trying to do on my own. Just to improve my email inbox, I'm trying to see if I can use more video. So I used video when I launched my site, but I'm thinking of how can I incorporate more video and less text in my emails. That's something that I'm trying to incorporate. I'm looking into using a tool called Boomerang for Gmail. Like from last year, I've been researching on this tool. And what I really love about it is, you know, when I told you about setting aside a time in the day, so Boomerang for Gmail actually has a feature called Inbox Pause that I want to try out. And so you can pause your inbox. And so you get emails only at a particular time of the day. So for me, that would be, you know, late in the afternoon when I'm about to close shop. So I want to experiment with that. I also want to learn more about how to use Gmail's priority inbox. And so for my clients, and especially my coaching clients and the clients who hire me for my speaking services, I want to know when they send me emails. So I want to know how can I manage so that I know this email is more of a priority than that. That's one other thing. I'm also trying to incorporate Gmail labels. But one thing I've been using of late is, because I use Gmail, I've been using Gmail's predictive response. And I've also been using their Gmail follow-up nudge. When it tells you, you know, this email was sent 4 days ago, you might want to send a follow-up email. Pardon me, Outlook users, because I don't use Outlook currently, so I don't have a lot of, you know, recent things that I've been doing with Outlook. That's why when I'm talking about what I'm doing, it's mainly related to Gmail. But tell you what I'll do, I'm linking below to a nice Outlook article I saw on tips on how you can better optimize your Outlook inbox. So I hope that helps. Yeah, so that's it for how to manage your email inbox. Cheers and bye. If you want to build your personal brand, I have a free resource that you can use. It's a free download that I have available on my site and right here on the podcast page if you're listening to this on our website. So it's a business development planner template that I use with my coaching clients, and it will help you create an easy and achievable plan of action on how to grow your personal brand in the next 30 days. And it covers things even, for instance, like simple and quick things that you can do, for instance, to just level up on your LinkedIn game. So if you want to download that, as I said, if you're listening to this on the website, just look below and you'll see the link to download this free resource. If you're listening to the podcast on Spotify and Anchor and other podcasting platforms, and just go to our site, www.farmgrown.com, and you'll see a link to download the Business Development Planner template on our homepage. Keep growing. Bye.